Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
The Parliamentary Portfolio Committee of Basic Education heard some really harrowing accounts of statutory rape, in particularly in the KZN schools. And this is obviously something to really, really get us all concerned. And we'll talk about other stats just now. But when you look at the stats given by KZN Basic Education, it is quite something. So in this 1 year alone, 71 accounts of misconduct cases against teachers this year alone. And some of the cases are just absolutely frightening. And obviously these are statutory rape cases by teachers of the learners themselves. So on the line with us is chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, and that is Joy Maimela. Thank you so much for making time for us. A very good evening to you.
Good evening to you, and good evening to all the Kaya FM listeners at home.
Honourable Maimela, these numbers are quite harrowing. They are staggering. They are scary. And maybe perhaps give us a better picture of some of the accounts that you got, particularly with regards to the KZN region.
Look, we've had this engagement with all the nine provinces because we are currently conducting some inquiry as instructed by the Speaker of Parliament, and it is us and other portfolio committees. So, of course, the accounts, the cases that the provinces have reported are actually very alarming. As you had mentioned, with specific context to the KZN province, the cases that they were actually reporting from the basic education records, we were saying to them they don't actually align with the Department of Health, because the Department of Health is actually reporting higher numbers of children below the ages of 14 that are giving birth in their hospital. And KZN province was telling us that some of the cases are very complex, because there are incidences where parents themselves accept bribes from these perpetrators, and they don't report the cases. So we heard of a specific case where a learner that was about 15 years old, where the perpetrator actually went to pay damages to the family, and the family accepted those damages. As a result, the family was not even keen or interested in opening a case. Although we know in terms of our own law, that is statutory rape.
Absolutely. And so do they align, though, when you look at social development? Do the numbers work out?
No, they don't. And that is one of the issues. That's one of the gaps that we're identifying in the system. What we're identifying in the system is that some of the learners, once they fall pregnant, they just abscond. So they just stay at home. They don't come back to school. So the school does not report. They don't record that the learner is pregnant. It's just that the learner has dropped out. Whereas when the learner then goes to give birth, and then the Department of Health then registered the case. So that's why the numbers in the Department of Health are actually a bit higher. The DSD as well, how they get to know of the cases is if our own teachers, our own schools report to DSD, or if the Department of Health reports to DSD. So even with DSD, the numbers don't align.
So to what extent then is the basic education in KZN taking responsibility? Because from some of these accounts, we are told that the school itself is protecting its own reputation, and they themselves don't want to actually take full responsibility of what is happening, nor want to act on some of these cases.
Of course, you're quite correct. Some of the issues that were raised by the national department was that some of the schools don't report because they are protecting their reputation, especially with cases that involve sexual misconduct between the learners and teachers. So they really just don't report because it deals with the reputational damage of the school. So we've said to all the provinces, all the nine provinces, because the numbers were actually high in all provinces, and they were not matching in all provinces. So we've actually said to them that we want comprehensive reports of all the cases that have to do with learners that have dropped out, especially young girls that have dropped out, And they should now start tracking those young girls as to why did they drop out, so that we know the actual numbers and we know how many of those cases actually involve teachers and who did not report. Mm-hmm. And how did, if the school leadership knew about the case, because our argument as a portfolio committee was that it is not true that the school leadership doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
People talk, learners speak, the community, if a school in a community, the community speaks. So you know that actually learner X is no longer attending because they're pregnant. So we should be able to get to the bottom of what then did the school leadership do, and who then do we hold accountable, especially where the principal of the school knew and they decided not to report. There should be somebody who is held accountable for that incident.
Currently, we have social workers per district, and there have been calls for social workers to be deployed at each and every single school. The minister is saying, well, that's not possible. I mean, is there any commitment from the minister to improve on the accessibility of social workers?
Look, the Department of Social Workers is essentially the responsibility of DSD because they report to DSD. So part of the work that we're doing with this inquiry as Parliament is to ensure that we come out with recommendations on how do you enhance the number of social workers that are attached to schools. And we are looking at different innovative avenues to consider, including student social workers that are supposed to do community work.
Mm-hmm.
How do we ensure that we effectively utilize the student social workers who needs also the experience, because they need to do some community work, who also needs the experience? How do you attach them to schools so that you enhance the number of availability of social workers per school? Because currently the situation and the numbers are really unfortunate. As a result, some of the victims of sexual harassment, of sexual abuse, even abuse from home, do not necessarily receive, these learners don't necessarily receive psychosocial support that is adequate, that is effective.
I must say, the impression I got was that everybody is passing the buck. People talking about no clear reporting lines, so the school itself sort of holds on to the information, and then nobody goes to the district, nobody goes to the province, nobody goes to the national. So everybody not quite taking responsibility. What then was the resolution? And I know that you are still working on recommendations, but currently, do people see what's wrong with not taking responsibility at every level?
You're quite correct, and that is what we are seeing. These are the gaps that we are seeing from the system. It's that the schools and the Department of Basic Education says, well, our primary responsibility and our primary focus is curriculum delivery. Our responsibility is to teach learners. And then you have DSD that says, well, our responsibility and our mandate is very broad. So, and you've got SAPS that also says another thing. And what we want to do is that the legislation should be so explicit to say who is responsible for what. So that if that person does not do it, you've got a person that you can hold accountable. Because currently how the law is, there is only an expectation as per law for a school to report, for example, a Section 22 form that a school must fill and submit to DSD. You know, submit to the district and the district submits to DSD. But there is no clear outline of the consequences. When you don't report, when a school doesn't report, then what? So there is no clear outline in terms of the law, in terms of the legal framework, in terms of the legislation on who then takes responsibility for failing a young, especially young girls, because they're at the receiving end of statutory rape.
So just maybe help me out with the departments that were convening here. So I know that this is obviously as per the Office of the Speaker's request, and there were four portfolios. It is, I believe, it was Justice, it was education, and which other ones? Social Development, I think?
It's actually more than four. Okay. It's actually the Basic Education Portfolio Committee.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Department of Health.
Yeah.
It is a portfolio committee on health. It's a portfolio committee on justice. It's a portfolio committee on SAPS. It's a portfolio committee on women, youth, and persons dealing with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that portfolio committee is the one that is actually leading the inquiry.
Mm.
And then it's a portfolio committee on social development.
Because where I'm trying to go with this is that clearly at the center of all of this, what should be paramount are the rights of the child.
Exactly. And that is why, remember, there is also a process that is unfolding on the amendment of the Children's Act.
Mm.
So one of the things that we're looking at is the Children's Act and the specific sections that speak to the statutory. Because we invited civil society organization, and we then received interest from civil society organization, law organizations, that were actually saying to us there are gaps in the legislation itself.
Mm.
And they were saying to us, in the amendment process, there is certain sections that need to be beefed up because they don't actually, those sections don't prescribe accountability. And you need to actually insert some form of legislation that speaks to accountability. But also, even definitions. I mean, we were informed when we were conducting this inquiry that when, for example, SAIS is a council that is responsible for teachers within the basic education, they also deal with the cases. And when an educator, for example, is involved or is accused or is convicted of sexual assault, they're supposed to be stricken off and deregistered from SAIS so that they don't teach in another school. And currently, SAIS and the limitations in terms of definitions within the current legislation actually limits some of or actually impedes some of the PEDs to actually act on other teachers. So a teacher might be found guilty of a misconduct, sexual misconduct in Western Cape, and go and apply in Limpopo and still be appointed.
But then when it comes to the police, that shouldn't be a problem. So if someone has been convicted of assault or rape or statutory rape, surely that should apply in all provinces as long as it's in the borders of this country.
It should, but what is also alarming, a discovery that we made that was very alarming, is that more than 300,000 teachers that are in the system are not vetted. So if you don't vet a teacher, you would not know.
And a lot of these cases, it turns out, it's not even a case of the incidents not happening in the premises. They are happening in the premises, and we're still not able to deal with the teachers.
Exactly. They happen in the premises. For example, we also received a report from the Eastern Cape. I mean, we were meeting with the Eastern Cape on Friday, and there was one specific school where there is at least six teachers in that school that are accused of having sexual relationships with learners. And the province was reporting to us that one of those teachers within the midst of the investigation actually committed suicide. But what also the MEC reported to us was how there are serious limitations in the system, because they were saying one of the teachers, they found out during the investigation that he was actually found guilty in the Western Cape by the Western Cape Education Department, but he was appointed in the Eastern Cape and he committed the very same misconduct.
So
that shows you the level of gaps within the system. Because if you've got more than 300,000 teachers that are not vetted, some of those teachers might be appearing on the National Sex Offenders List, and we don't know.
So does that need legislation? Because that's simply, for me, it sounds like it's an administrative problem. So currently, there are still laws that are in place that can assist us move on with this immediately. So why are we not then implementing those laws?
It is. That one, it is a purely an administrative process. And that was alarming on our part. It was an alarming discovery because we kept asking the department, and the department was saying to us, well, vetting of any person in this country is a preview of this, of SAPS, and
yes.
SAPS will tell us that they've got enormous cases, they've got a workload, and they can't, so it takes long. And at the time, we need a teacher. We can't take 3 months without having a teacher. And it takes long to actually vet the teachers. So we employ anyway.
So what are they going to do about it now that we're here? What are they going
to
do about it now that we're here?
The commitment we have is that SAIS is busy with dealing with the backlog. And SAIS was saying to us, at least this year alone, they've been able to vet more than 60,000 of those teachers. And that they've got an agreement and an arrangement with SAPS at a national level to submit a number per month so that they can deal with the backlog. So that's the report that we've got. And we've agreed that as a portfolio committee, we've agreed that we might need to also call SAPS before the portfolio committee and the department and says to say, you must give us tangible timelines on how we're going to deal with this backlog.
Joy Mamela, thank you so much for giving us your time this evening. She is the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.